Exodus 15, and we're going to read beginning with verse number 20. Exodus 15 and verse number 20. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, more than likely something similar to a tambourine. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. You talk about a celebration that they were having. This was quite a celebration. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went out 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which he had cast into the waters. The waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute, an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee." Praise God. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. Praise God. And I think that this morning we want to look at this text for just a few minutes, and I hope to stir up your minds, stir up your thinking, and that somehow the work of the Spirit of God today would remind us that God is at work in our lives in all kinds of different circumstances. The writer in Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, he says, all these things were written for our in samples, our example. All of these things, talking about all the Old Testament events, including the one that we've just read to you about here this morning. All of these things were given for your example, and they are written for our admonition, or for our warning, for us to take attention, to give attention to them, upon whom the ends of the world are come, so that in whatever age we live in, we can be prepared for whatever we face. Amen. For whatever circumstance, whatever comes our way, you will find the answer in the Bible. Amen. You'll find the answer in the Word of God. I know that we live in a world today that pretty much rejects God and God's Word. Our society has almost become an anti-Christian society, a post-Christian society today that we are a part of. And so to suggest that the answers or the solutions to our problems can be found in the Word of God, most people in the world today would scoff at that. They'd make fun of that. But as Christians who've committed ourselves to God and committed ourselves to the Word of God, we know that His Word was given to us. Even many of these Old Testament events, Old Testament stories were given to us for an example or a model to us, so that we'll be warned and aware and be prepared for challenges that we might face even in this time that we're living in right now. And so just to start with, we need to back up just a little bit to kind of look at the context of what I just read to you here, because you can go back just a little bit in this story and you're reminded of the fact that the children of Israel are under captivity in Egypt. And the burden of their captivity is so heavy, it's so overwhelming to them, that they begin to cry out to the Lord for deliverance. And for a long span of time, they're crying out to God that He would deliver them from the hard taskmasters of the Egyptians and all that they're facing. And God raised up Moses And you know the story. I won't go into all the specifics of the story, but eventually Moses becomes the one that God uses to face Pharaoh and to declare to him that he needs to let the people go. Of course, Pharaoh hardens his heart and he rejects that plea of Moses. But over the process of these 10 different plagues, horrible things that fell upon Egypt. This Egypt was the largest and the greatest civilization of that time, and masses of people in Egypt, and the growth and the expansion of Egypt. When you read about it, it's just incredible. All of the things. This was a culture and a society that was huge and powerful in its particular time. But God used Moses to begin this process of seeing the people of God set free from that bondage in Egypt. And the various plagues that came. You see, now, from the Egyptians' point of view, when they looked at the God the God of the children of Israel, they saw him as harsh. They saw him as the God who did things, bringing all this calamity upon them through the plagues. That's the way that they viewed a God. But the children of Israel, they viewed him as the God who saved them from all those plagues. Because none of those plagues come to the children of Israel. Even when darkness fell all over Egypt, the Bible says that there was still light in the households of the children of Israel. There was still light in Goshen, that particular region where the children of Israel was at. They still had light when everything else was darkness. And so from their perspective, God was their hope, and he was their deliverer. And he was the one that was providing for them and helping them. You'd understand with me today that those in our world today who reject God, God is their enemy. God is their enemy. That doesn't mean that he doesn't love the whole world, but God is the enemy of those who turn away from him, who reject the true and the living God. But God loves those who turn their hearts toward him and are obedient to the voice of the Lord. Then he is a God who ministers to them and provides for them and protects them in every way. Praise God. And that's the God that we serve. That no matter what or what circumstance that you're in, they were in bondage in Egypt, but even down there under that terrible taskmaster, they are still being preserved. So I just want to give you a little word of encouragement here this morning, and that is, no matter what comes in your life, no matter what comes to our society, no matter what the church or Christians face over these coming months and years, it really makes no difference how difficult or what we face. God is going to be right there in the middle of it, and he's going to provide for his people. His children are not going to go begging bread. God is going to be the one that's going to sustain us and keep us and provide for us every step of the way. Praise God for the wonderful hope that we have in the Lord. Some of the scriptures that Brother Bright read this morning in the Sunday school toward the end there, I also had chosen to read this morning in this message. Malachi 3 and verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." That is descriptive of the nature of God and who he is. He's unchanging. The apostle there in Hebrews, he described it as immutable, that he is immutable. He's unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's the same today as he was in the time of the children of Israel and all the things that they faced. God was there and he was providing for them. And it says in Hebrews 6 and 18, "By two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, strong comfort, strong assurance to know, no matter what you experience or what you go through, that God is there with you." Verse 19 says, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul." Hallelujah. Praise God. So we may be facing challenging times, and some of you here this morning may be up against some really challenging and difficult times. But just remember that if you're a child of God, you belong to him. God knows where you are. He knows what's going on in your life, and he'll not forsake you. Amen. You put him first. He's not going to forsake you. But instead, he said, I'm going to give you a strong consolation. I'm going to give you hope for the future that will be an anchor for your soul. Praise God. Amen. So we do face trying situations. We do face times. And we have difficulties learning to trust the Lord. And God, oftentimes, he allows us to go through maybe even the trial. You know, you failed the first test, and so here, try it again. You have to keep going back through some of the same circumstances because you have not learned that God is faithful in every situation. Amen. And he's right with you today if you'll put your trust in the Lord. Praise God. They had experienced all of those plagues, but God was with them. And even when the firstborn of those Egyptians was taken by that death angel that passed over, all of those who put the blood on the door and on the lintel and on the mantle, those that prepared themselves and they stayed within the house of protection, God allowed them to be preserved and the children of Israel to be protected and preserved. And so really the only safe place to be in this world is in the kingdom of God. That's the only safe place to be. And a lot of times we go through trials instead of just running to the Lord and looking to him for safety and for hope and the anchor of our souls. We blame God. We get confused. We get twisted around and think God that it's God that's failed us. Or maybe sometimes it's we look for someone else to blame. But all in all, remember this, that wherever you are and whatever you're facing here this morning, God is with you and God will provide for you. He'll take care of you if you'll put your trust in him. Hallelujah. Well, the story goes that they were set free finally from the bondages of Egypt. They were led out of that bondage. And of course, Moses is their leader. But really, Moses is just following that pillar of a cloud by day and fire by night. It's God that is leading them every step of the way. Oh, what a mistake we make when we think that we can work out our own problems without God. The safe place to be is in the kingdom of God and being led of the Spirit and allowing God to direct your steps and to show you the way that you should go. God will show you and he will lead you. Fanny Crosby wrote this wonderful hymn, and I won't read it all, but I'll read at least the first part of it here. It says, "All the way my Savior leads, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know, whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." And then it repeats that. "For I know, whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." Praise God. Amen. I don't know what you're up against. I don't know what you're faced with today. But if you're a child of God, Jesus is doing all things well. Amen. He don't make mistakes. He's at work and he'll help you and he'll lead you and he'll direct your steps. Do you know, as they left out the being led by Moses and being led by the Lord out of Egypt, when you look at the map and follow the steps of the children of Israel, it appears that they are taking the long way. It appears they're taking the wrong way. And even Pharaoh recognized it. He noticed that what they were doing and the path that they were taking. In Exodus 14, in verse 3, it says, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in." Pharaoh saw what was going on and the direction that they were following, and he said, "Well, they're just going to get themselves entangled and in a trap that they can't get out of." And that was the very thing that that motivated Pharaoh to say, "Well, listen, they're going to be backed up against that Red Sea. They're going to have nowhere to turn, no way to get out of it. And so I'm going to get my armies together and we're going to pursue them and we're going to overtake them and bring them back." to Egypt. You know, the world looks at the way you're traveling and the way that you're going, and the world says, well, that's ridiculous. The life you're living, the path that you're following, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense to the world. The world sees what's happening in your life, and they see that it's the long way. It's the wrong way. They can't understand or comprehend the things of the Spirit of God or how that God is working. Pharaoh thought that they were being entrapped in the land, but instead, God was leading them to a place so that he can give them this wonderful, glorious victory over Pharaoh's armies. Amen. You see, God's plan, we don't always understand or know what he's doing or how he's doing, but we do know this, he can be trusted. Amen. All the way, the Savior leads. All the way, the Savior leads. Whatever befalls me, I know he is doing all things well. Amen. So a lesson for us today is to understand that God knows where you are, the trouble, the trial, the bondage, the circumstance that you're in, and he is also able to lead you out. But you're going to have to trust him. You're going to have to trust him and know that he will do all things well if you'll put your hope and your confidence in the Lord. Isaiah talked about this very event after the fact. Isaiah 43, verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful report of what God has done, and he's speaking to his generation about what God has done in the past and leading the children of Israel into a place where they can experience wonderful victory. Praise God. As a matter of fact, this victory over Pharaoh and his armies, the Bible says that when they received Moses' declaration to them, as they begin to cry out and say, there were plenty of places, you know, to bury us in Egypt. Why did you bring us out of here? Thinking that there would be tombs and burial places for us out of here. But Moses declared to them that day that they were to move forward, that the hand of the Lord was getting ready to move and to deliver them. And he said, these Egyptians that you see today, you're not going to see him anymore. This is it. This is your final encounter with this enemy. And so what this was not just a victory. This was a total annihilation of their enemy. A problem solved, never to come back again. Praise God. Amen. It does seem like sometimes you get one problem solved and another one crops up and another situation arises and you can't seem to come out of it. But God wants to lead you into a place where your problems are solved and God works out the burden and the worry and the circumstance of your life and give you a complete answer in that situation. Praise God. So the children of Israel are delivered. You know the story. The little children know this story. The Red Sea opens up. The children of Israel march across on dry land. And as soon as they get across, Pharaoh's armies pursuing them. And the ocean wall closes up. And all those armies die, drowning at the bottom of the Red Sea. Praise God. And that takes us to the text where we read to you there, where Miriam begins to have a celebration. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. Let me tell you, there are times when we need to be celebrating that God has done some big things. God has moved in wonderful ways. Sometimes we sit too quiet. We're too idle in our worship. We're not really recognizing the fact that God has done something wonderful and mighty in our lives, or maybe even in your family's life, or even in the church. That God has worked and he has moved and he has provided, and we need to rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. And they just had them a wonderful time of rejoicing. I don't know how long it went, but one commentator I was reading said that there could have been as many, if it was all women, it could have been as many as 1 million women shouting and dancing all over the shores on the other side of the Red Sea. Now that would have been something to see. Amen. You talk about kicking up some dust and such a time of rejoicing. And no doubt that was a generation that was observing that and saying, our problems are over. We're never going to have a problem again. Our enemy's destroyed. Our enemy is defeated. 3 days later. 3 days later. They have been led out and given this wonderful, wonderful victory. But now, 3 days later, they are in a circumstance. It says that Moses brought the children of Israel from the Red Sea, brought them through that, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, S-H-U-R, Shur or Shur. The word means a wall. It means they went as far as they could go, then there's this wall. They can't go any further. What's the problem? Water. Interesting that the problem before also was water. It was too much water in their pathway. They were walled up on every side, and the Egyptian armies are behind them, and everything that's in front of them is the Red Sea. So the other problem was too much water, and now 3 days later, their problem is not enough water. Isn't it interesting how that our lives and our circumstances, they change? You face new problems, new things you never expected to face. You didn't know that you were going to come up against them. And you couldn't have predicted it. You couldn't have known. But just be reminded that God is working. The same God that led them through the Red Sea, that they celebrated there, that wonderful victory, is the same God that led them to this wall and stopped them. Now, can you imagine a whole day without anything to drink? How about day number two with nothing to drink? Day number three with nothing to drink? Not only that, you're in a wilderness climate. It's dry. It's barren. You talk about a desperate situation. So now a people that was rejoicing and praising God for deliverance, they're now murmuring and complaining, and they're upset and they're angry, and they don't understand. God, why did you bring us out into this situation we are in? Why? You know, we all face trying circumstances. I would say most everybody in this service today, if I ask you if you have trying situations that you don't know how to solve, everyone would raise your hand. Some of you would raise both hands because you've got big problems and you don't know what to do and you don't have the answer. And you've had victories, but now you're stopped at a wall. You can't go any further. And it doesn't seem like that there is the provision that you need. Now they murmured and they complained. And all through the scripture, the children of Israel were warned about that because they didn't and wouldn't trust God. Can you imagine that 3 days go by, they've experienced this most unbelievable miracle, walking on dry land with the wall of the sea beside them, and no doubt they are in awe of the mighty power of God and what He has done. 3 days later, they're complaining, they're murmuring, and they're blaming Moses. Why did you bring us out here to die of thirst? Why? And complaining. But it shows the nature, human nature. It shows how quickly we forget the faithfulness of God. It shows that how prone we are to the flesh and to a fleshly type of response instead of putting our trust in the Lord. Amen. The place that He came to now it is a place of, there's water there, but the water is bitter. They can't drink it. This bitterness that has affected them, they're all affected by it. 3 days in the wilderness, no water, and now they come to this place of bitterness, and what do we drink? What do we drink? I think most every one of us have had times when we face some wall or some circumstance where we wanted somebody to blame. We are looking for somebody. Somebody did this. Somebody has caused this to happen. And maybe we've even questioned God. We've questioned the promises of God, questioned the Word of God as to why we are faced with what we are. I'm going through all this because I want to just show you from God's Word here this morning that the answer is God. And Moses cried out to the Lord, to all of those, and for all of those murmuring and grumbling children of Israel, God heard the cry of Moses. The Bible says that God showed him a tree. It must have been a particular type of tree because it was a tree that had the quality, some quality about it, that once it was thrown in the water, God showed Moses a tree, and he had that tree thrown in the water. And when it was placed in the water becomes sweet. I think we all know that that is a type of the cross. And when we come back to Jesus and back to the foot of the cross, and we're reminded that he has paid the price, he has done everything so that we can be saved, so that we can walk in freedom and victory through his death, burial, and resurrection, it reminds us that only he can turn your bitter situation into something sweet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's exactly what happened. You see, God allows us. It says that here he proved Israel. He put them to the test. And too often times we blame the devil and said, the devil's doing this to me. He's trying to kill me. He's trying to do all of this. But remember, you're a child of God. God's leading you. And sometimes he leads you to a place where you can't solve the problem. You're up against a wall and you can't do anything about it because he wants you to trust him. He wants you to cry out to the Lord like Moses did. He wants you to trust him and believe that he can help you, and he's the only answer. He puts you in circumstances where you can't solve it any other way. The doctors don't have the answers. You can't borrow enough money. You can't resolve your situation in your family, whatever it is that you're up against. It's too big for you, and there's no man-made answer. It requires that you call out to the Lord. Amen. How does the Lord do this? Well, he allows us to be tested. He allows us to go through these times so that he can remind you of all that he has done and remind you that you belong to him. Amen. You belong to him. I was reading one writer who was talking about little calves that would be branded with a hot iron. And this guy was talking about how he was so sad because those little calves, you know, that they would squirm and cry as they were being branded. But after the branding, then everyone knew who that calf belonged to. Amen. Sometimes we experience trouble and trials, and we go through bitter experiences and we don't understand. But if we'll cry out to the Lord and put our trust in the Lord, God has chosen us to prove us, to test us, because he just wants to lay claim on you, that everybody knows who you belong to, that you have put your trust in him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now the text there in verse 26. It says, and if thou will, he proved them, the scripture says, and now there's this commitment, this vow that God is making. He said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Oh, it was fresh in their mind, the horrible things that the Egyptians went through. And he said, you're going to be excluded from all of that. You obey my commandments. You give attention to my word. You obey it. You seek after the truth. You put your confidence in me. I'll put none of these diseases upon you, which I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. This is one of the redemptive names of the Lord. And we may talk about more of those over the next few weeks. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. The Lord who not only has promised to be our healer physically, but he's also, the word there in this text here, the word for I am the Lord that healeth thee, he is a word for making things whole, mending things, putting things back and making them whole once again. Let me tell you, there needs to be healing in many, many lives, in many, many circumstances. Sometimes you have allowed trouble and circumstances in your life to make you bitter, and you need a healing in your soul, in your spirit. There have been offenses against you, words that were spoken, things that have been done to you, and you hold that in bitterness in your life. And only the Lord can heal that. Only the Lord can resolve that. Sometimes there are trouble and conflicts that you face in business, or sometimes even in your home, in marriage, or whatever that the circumstance might be. If you'll call upon the Lord, he's the one that mends it. He's the one that heals it, that brings it back and makes it whole once again. And only the Lord can do that. Only the Lord can do that. And he's promised, I'm Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that heals. I am the Lord that mends. I am the Lord that comes into your trouble, your circumstance, whatever you're faced with, and I can heal it. Hallelujah. I can heal it. Even a lot of people have gone through, heartbreaking situations. We've seen that, even in our own family. And we know the tragedy of it. We know the heartbreak. Let me tell you, if your kids go through something, you go through it with them. If they're in agony, you're in agony. If they're in trouble, you're in trouble. And that's just the way it is. That's the way it is with moms and dads. And whatever your circumstance might be, don't allow all of that you're facing to make you bitter, grumbling, complaining, rejecting God, rejecting the help that comes from the Lord. Cry out to God. Call upon the Lord. Run to the cross and understand he's the one that will heal every broken situation that is in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He can do it, and only he can do it. Let me tell you, God can resolve situations that are impossible to be healed. Amen. He can put things back together where the breach is so wide that it seems impossible. Not with God. Not with God. God can heal the brokenhearted. God can work in every situation. He can move in every household, in every family, in every home, in every marriage, in every circumstance. God can do it if you'll cry out to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, he's the one that can move for you today. And quite frankly, you're up against a wall. You're not going to go any further. You're going to stay right where you are. You're going to stay in that place of bitterness. You're going to stay in that place of breach and hopelessness until you cry out to the Lord, until you put your trust completely in the Lord, until you lay aside bitterness and lay aside grumbling and lay aside blame. And there's always somebody to blame, isn't there? Amen. Most of the reasons why that you've had heartbreak and trouble, you can point at somebody and say, they did it to me. They are doing it to me. They're the problem. And they might be the problem, but you become a part of the problem as well because you allow that wall to stop you and to keep you from ever moving forward. And I'll just say that after they left this place of testing, that they moved out into a place where there were plenteous wells, plentiful wells, an oasis of sort, a place of provision, a place of where they would have what they were in need of. That doesn't mean that they didn't have other trials and troubles in their life, but God will bring you through the situation that you're in now. Right now. I really wondered about this because it was Friday morning. I woke up early in the morning and this verse came on my mind. It's not that often that happens to me, but as soon as I woke up, those words came to my mind. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And I thought, Lord, am I sick? Is something wrong with me? Am I going to face something? And that's why I had to turn to the Word of God and look through this example in the Scripture and realize that sure, He takes care of our physical needs and He's our physical healer, but He's also the one that mends and heals every situation and brings you to a place, and He tests you in that place and He brings you out of it if you'll put your trust in the Lord. If you're not willing to do that, then you're going to stay in this dry, bitter place. You're going to stay in this miserable, miserable place and never be able to move into the victory that God has for you. I don't want to stay in a place like that. I want to move into plenty. I want to move into revival and the blessing and the provision of the Lord. I don't want to allow any of these things to stop or to hinder me. And I trust that you will allow God to be Jehovah Rapha for you as well. Hallelujah. I am the Lord who heals. I am the Lord that can heal you. I am the Lord that can change your circumstance if you'll put your trust in the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads. No doubt there are many of your friends, maybe family, loved ones, that they're going through tough and difficult times. You know, many times it's that other person on the sideline that's observing someone else go through it that gets bitter. We take up an offense for them. We become bitter because of what they have experienced. You're offended because they're offended. Someone you love is offended. And so you need to turn that over to the Lord today. Amen. And exchange the bitterness and the grumbling and the complaining and the distrust of God. And put your confidence in Him today and cry out to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then He's promised that He will reveal Himself to you as the God that can heal you. The God that can heal you. I have witnessed people hold bitterness and unforgiveness in their heart. Weeks, months, years would go by. And they allow all that to stay in their life. It affects them in every way, spiritually, physically. It affects them in every area of their life because they've allowed that root of bitterness to spring up in their life. And now it's controlling them. There's nothing. It's on their mind continuously. And oh, what a miserable existence. I don't want to be in that place. But I want to believe God. Hallelujah. Oh, if you'll just come to the cross. If you'll just come to the cross, Jesus can turn the bitter into sweet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the Lord that can heal you. He's the Lord that can mend and make whole that circumstance of your life. And I hope that you'll call upon the Lord today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I pray that the Lord would speak to your heart today, and that He is speaking to your heart. And you're going to determine this morning, I'm not going to stay in this place. I'm just not going to stay here. I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. I'm going to cry out to Him. And I'm going to believe Jesus, Jehovah Rapha, that He's going to come and He's going to heal this circumstance in my life. Hallelujah. Not only physical healing, emotional healing. Sometimes hurts are deep, deep in the depths of your soul and your spirit. And only God can mend that. Oh, but He can. He can when you cry out to the Lord. He can help you. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord.